It is so awesome to be here. I'm like officially here. Wow. It's amazing and it's a joy. And I just can't tell you how grateful and honored I am to be here on this beautiful, maybe buggy day. I hope everybody had a wonderful July 4th. Nobody was run over by tanks or anything. And, you know, it's very difficult, particularly on this Parshat Korach, not to get all political. You know, the temptation to talk about, you know, Korach is this manipulating demagogue who rabble-rouses in order to get his way. It's very tempting, but of course it's my first Shabbat, so I'm not going to rock the boat. But maybe just a little. Just a little. Seriously, when you think about it, what is the Torah for, if not to be to teach? If not to teach us how to meet our world, no matter what the changing circumstances, no matter what the challenges are. So I promise, I'm not going to get in any soapboxes, and I'm not going to do any of my own rabble-rousing. But what I will do today is perhaps draw some insights from the Parsha to give us some way of holding on to some strength during this time of incredible political polarization and many, many other challenges that we face in our time. So what do we have in Parshat Korach? We have this rebellion that Korach goes before Moshe in front of all of the Israelites, as I said before, and he says something quite provocative. He says, first, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. And he says, Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. What does that mean? Kol ha'eda, all the people, all the community, kulam kedoshim. Right, they are all holy. That is a very provocative thing to say. He's rabble-rousing with that term. He is lifting up the common man in a very sneaky way. He is appealing to his base, as it were, by claiming that everyone amongst the Israelites is equally holy. Now, of course, that's kind of sounds sort of true at first, doesn't it? I mean, it's after all, it's what God said earlier, right? That we should be an Am Kadosh. Sounds good. But actually, it's not. Nechama Leibowitz, the great 20th century scholar, very astutely pointed out that he chose his words very carefully. He said, he did not say, all the community is holy. He said, all the community are holy. Kulam, they are all holy, which means each and every one is holy now. Therefore, very deserving now, very entitled now. Now, that's not what God meant in Leviticus when God said that we have to be an Am Kadosh. What that meant is that we are being held to a standard to which we must aspire collectively to be a nation that lifts up holiness in the world. It's a collective pronouncement on what the role of the Jewish people are collectively in the world. But look what Korach does. He takes that idea and he twists it and manipulates it into a kind of privilege that any Israelite can lift up and lord themselves over others who are not Israelites. So with this campaign promise, as it were, what is he doing? He's gaslighting the Israelite people. And he, in fact, is bringing down the very holiness that he purports to be bringing forth amongst all the people. And he doesn't like that at all. It's true. So basically, what we're having here is something that sounds and looks very familiar, doesn't it, in our time. You know, Ein kol chadash tachat hashamesh. You know that expression from the book of Kohelet? There's nothing new under the sun. Why is it? Why do Korachs keep arising in every generation, these demagogues? What is going on here? What's behind that? We get some answers. Very famously, for example, there's a discussion in Pirkei Avot, about Machloket L'Shem Shemayim. What is Machloket L'Shem Shemayim? Anyone? An argument for the sake of Shemayim, of heaven. right? So there are two kinds of arguments, an argument for the sake of heaven and she'ein l'shem shamayim, that is not for the sake of heaven. Well, an argument that is for the sake of heaven, sofa lehitkayem, which means in the end it will stand. In the end, whatever is being argued for the sake of heaven will become a blessing. But something that is not argued for the sake of heaven, sofa lo lehitkayem, it will not become a blessing in the end. What's an example of arguments for the sake of heaven? Famously, Hillel and Shammai, right? The two great rabbis of the Second Temple period and their schools and their followers, they disagreed on everything. And yet, both of their arguments for the sake of heaven. Why? Because they were trying to figure out how best to bring Torah to the Jewish people and to the world and to sanctify the world, even when they disagreed on everything. And what's an example of an argument not for the sake of heaven? Korach v'chol adato. Korach and all of his band who were trying to sway the people. And the Malbim, the commentator, explains about this. He says very simply, there was nothing going on for the sake of heaven. They were coming from a place of grievances. And they wanted to amplify everyone's sense of grievances through their arguments. But really what they were was a band of malcontents seeking power for themselves. And when Korach talks about Kiddushah and holiness and everybody's holy, it's just a ruse to give himself the power. That is not for the sake of heaven. All right, so that gives us some insight into where these demagogues are coming from, something we kind of see and know very well, unfortunately. But then the wider question is, why on earth do people keep falling for this? Why are these people so able to sway the masses, to sway thousands, to sway millions of people? This is just so confusing for us. We get a very interesting answer from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev in his Kiddushat Levi. He says something, he goes like this. He says, you know, Korach and his immediate followers were all from the tribe of Levi, right? They were Levites. But what they really were after, they wanted to become the new Kohanim. They wanted to be the priests. And so that they wanted that power. They wanted that kavod, right? We give Kohanim the first aliyah still to this day because it's this idea of a kavod. They want that power. And actually his message, what he was trying to sway everyone on, he was kind of suggesting, well, we're all Kohanim, aren't we? Right? What did the Kohen Gadol wear on his diadem? Kadosh Ladonai, that he was holy to God. We're all holy. So Kedushat Levi points out, he gets Kabbalistic on us. And he says, you know, everything, and this is what the Kabbalah teaches, everything you read in the Torah is actually a symbol or a metaphor for something else. So every time you talk about Kohanim in the Torah, you're talking about God's Midat Rachamim. Anyone know what that is? What is Midat HaRachamim? Anyone? God's attribute of Rachamim, compassion, or chesed, loving kindness, love. And he says that every time you talk about the Levites, they represent Midat Hadin. What is Midat Hadin? What's that? I heard it. Justice, right. God's attribute of justice, Midat Hadin is the ability to say no. That's really what it is. It's limit setting. And Rachamim is yes. Rachamim is there are no boundaries. There are no. Think about love. What do we love about love? It embraces everything. It has no limits, no boundaries. It just keeps going. And Dean sets limits on that. And that's why too much Dean can lead to evil. You have too many limits, too many walls being built. That creates evil. Interesting, huh? So what is Korach doing? He's saying this is what he's promising. We are all Kedoshim. We are all Kohanim, as it were. He's saying, we're going to do away with Midat Hadin, everybody. It's all going to be a love fest for everybody. You're going to be able to not be bounded by anything that has been giving you grievances before. You're going to have everything you want. There are going to be no more hierarchies of values, of wisdom. There's going to be nothing stopping you from getting what you feel you deserve. And you know what? When you say something like that and you promise something like that to people, that's extremely attractive. That's very empowering. It can even feel very loving. You feel very respected for who you are. And of course, it's very dangerous, because what ultimately happens when there's no such thing as limit setting? What happens to a society like that? Well, we all can imagine, right? The people who get the most power are going to hold on to the most power, and they're going to oppress those who don't have the power. So ultimately, it becomes a free-for-all of power and abuse. This is not the universe, according to the rabbis, that God designed. This is not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to have both midat rachamim and midat hadin. Now, it's very interesting. In our tradition, we learn that you always have to lean toward the rachamim. You have to have a little more rachamim than din. Meaning, you have to, every chance, you have to be as loving as possible. If there's an opportunity not to build a wall, you don't build a wall. Things like that. Right? But you also, on the other side, you need checks and balances. Because if you have unbridled free-for-all, that is the great danger. Very familiar sounding, isn't it? If you're anything like me, you look around at the world today, you see a world where a lot is being unbridled and unbounded. Bigotry, boorishness, greed, privilege that's running amok, discriminations that are being lifted up and increased by all kinds of marginalized peoples in our society. The very notion of truth itself is being diminished in such a way that if you're anything like me, I look around and there are times I don't think I recognize what I'm looking at in the world around me. It's very scary. But thank God, Baruch Hashem, we have the Torah. And what is the Torah ultimately telling us? The Torah is ultimately telling us, don't worry, we've seen this before. And you know what happened to Korach in the end, don't you? The earth opened up and swallowed him. And of course, we don't want to. Sometimes we would like the earth to swallow certain people, but we don't think about that. But, you know, luckily for us, we are progressive Jews. I'm not saying you have to read the Torah literally, but what I do with the story of the earth opening up and swallowing Korach and his followers is read it metaphorically. You know what that metaphor is teaching us? You know what it's trying to show us? There's a right side of history and there's a wrong side of history. There's a machloket l'shem shamayim and she'ena l'shem shamayim. And yes, there are times when people who are not arguing for the sake of heaven take a lot of power and manipulate a lot of people. But in the end, you know what happens to those arguments? You know what happens to their aims and their goals and their policies and their discriminations and abuses that they put out into the world? It ultimately will get swallowed up by the earth. That's the promise of our tradition. So long as we are arguing for the sake of heaven. So long as we take those arguments upon ourselves and we speak out whenever we can, we take actions for justice whenever we can, we do whatever we can and use whatever influences we have at our disposal to set checks and balances to unbridled authority and power by those who are seeking to grab it. We do whatever is in our power to protect the innocents and the children who are in harm's way. You know what happens when we do everything we can in order to ensure that? Sofa lehitkayem. In the end, our argument will stand, and it will be a blessing. May indeed we, in the days, months, and years ahead, be a congregation that is all about machloket l'shem shamayim, that we argue for the sake of heaven. And may we be a blessing for many generations to come. And we all say, Amen. Amen. We continue now with the Chatzikah.